Get all up in your face. I know you got your little views. You know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Yes. Hello, everyone. And I'm giving myself an applause because you know why? I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And I'm flying solo today on the FSP show. Sorry, it's not the FSP crew show, which is on Thursday night. FSP show. Victor is indisposed at the time and left me as the captain on this ship, and we're going to get the show rolling. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And I, like I always say on every show that I host, it's a place to be if you want to talk to me. Football, a little basketball, a little controversy, another player. We'll get into that in basketball. And whatever else. We're going to be running through the games from all the games except, you know, I'm going to go through all the games. All right? I'm not probably going to talk too much about fantasy. I'm going to be talking about lines and who I think will win and who won't, and who's going to cover the spread and who won't. But for the most part, we say that for the master plan. And as you all know, if you've been listening to the several shows of ours, which is quite naturally FSP, which is today, that starts at 1 o'clock, and then the Master Plan, which is on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday morning, every Sunday, I am the host of that, along with Lance Goodman, Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman, I should say. And then we have a relatively new show in the Extra Point. Lance takes a walk over from Sunday into Monday night, talks about Monday night football game and our studs and duds from Sunday, what we missed on, what we hit right dead on, what we knocked out of the park on. He talks about that 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Monday night, before the Monday night football game, and then he previews the Monday night football game and includes fantasy into that. So then we move to Thursday. I host that show. It's called the FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And along with myself, I have two co-hosts, Mike Wright. Well, Mike Blackwright, I should say, and Jeff the Joker. Jeff is from Jersey, just like I am. And we go over the news and notes and whatever may have taken place, controversial drama in fantasy sports and politics. We delve into all that because you know why? All those three are interwoven with each other. There's a lot of politics, especially in sports, and that's why we do an FSP show with the fantasy sports and politics. And we also hit on the political front on that show, as always, just like we do on the FSP show, Fantasy Sports and Politics. Okay? So without further ado, I broke it all down to you, all the shows that we do and the content of the shows. Let's get into the first subject on the docket. And it's about a Hall of Famer. I wish I had a clip, but I don't. What we do have is an article from ESPN, and I'm talking about, and it, some of you may not have heard about this, but I thought it was pretty interesting, and there's a phrase that the owner, the former owner, the deceased owner and operator, and at one point the coach, Super Bowl winning coach, phrased that is absolutely. Long is he's a defensive lineman back in the Raiders days of Howie Long and Gene Upshaw and the like that won a Super Bowl and is now in the Hall of Fame and also on Fox Sports on Sunday having that NFL game, I should say. And he's pretty well known because he has also has two sons that play. One's for the Rams and one's for the Chicago Bears. So it's a football family. So let me read this article to you. And then I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it and see what happens in the final analysis of what I think about it. Hall of Fame defensive end Howie Long said he would be befuddled by the auction of what is described as a game-used jersey of his with metal pebbles sewn underneath the jersey numbers. After being alerted about the auction and reading the description, Long said the idea that he had something under his numbers was so out of left field is just bizarre. The auction house purchased auctions in its description of a jersey that was sold Friday night for $3,585 wrote that Long or the Raiders could have customized the jersey to rough up the fingers of opposing offensive linemen. This is a quote from Heritage Auctions. We will suggest that Howie Long may have broke the rules a bit in this instance. Howie Long responded, it's just also ridiculous, adding skepticism to the story and alleged custom tailoring by asking why, if something was sharp under the jersey itself wasn't torn. This is another quote from Howie. I've authenticated more than 10,000 jerseys, and I've never seen anything like this, said Troy Kinnunen, president, chief executive, and leading authenticator for Mears, a bat and jersey authentication company that backed that validity of the jersey. The auction company says the jersey believed to have been worn during Long's rookie season in 1981, is from the collection of the late John Kindler. Kindler's son, Ian, consigned the jerseys for the auction, obtained them from the 1970s and 80s by befriending equipment managers as well as team and school officials. Kinnunen said his company is confident that not only is this Long's jersey and that it was game used, but the wear suggests that it was only one season. Kinnunen also said that the company made sure that the 75 was the only number ever sewn into that particular jersey, as forgers frequently try to take random jerseys from a time period and replace the number with the number of the most valuable player. It makes sense. Quite naturally, you take something like that, put the number on there of the player that was more popular or the best player and to get more money out of it. Let me finish this up. Kinnunen also said the jersey showed no sign of after-the-fact tampering, that the insertion of the objects was part of the original fabrication of the jersey by the equipment managers. The Raiders did not make Bob Romanisky, the current equipment manager, who was working under his father, Dick, at the time with the team, available for comment. Uh-oh. Well, you hear crazy stories like this all the time, and I'm surprised it took this long for something like this to come out, but the phrase I was talking about that Al Davis coined was, I think it was Al Davis or Don Madden, one or the other. I think it was Al Davis. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And that's from the coach of the Raiders. Now, I'm not saying that Howie Long, because I would be remiss in doing that he, in fact, or the Raiders organization as a whole, in fact, made this a practice with whoever wanted it in their jersey. But I don't know who to believe here. You know, it could be, who knows? It would be very hard, unless you had some sworn testimony from someone to say, yes, that in fact is what happened, to believe something like this. Now, you can put out there, a lot of people put things out, and you know the phrase, if you throw enough stuff against the wall, and I'm cleaning this up, some of it will stick. Well, I don't know if this is that four-letter word that starts with S and ends with T, but it's thrown up against the wall now, and it's, I don't know if it's sticking or it's coming off the wall and it's not valid at all. I had to bring it out. If those of you that don't know, possibly may find out more information than I do. Right now, it's out there. It came out, I guess, in the last few days. This is an update for today, this morning. So we'll see what happens. Let me put it this way. I don't know if he will or not on Sunday when he is on the pregame show, halftime show, or after the games show. I'm talking about Howie on Fox Sports, if he's going to address it or not. You just have to tune into Fox Sports to see if he is actually going to say something about it. Just wanted to put it out there because it's news. It's something that can taint the image of a Hall of Famer. Cannot take one notch off of that Hall of Fame legacy that Howie Long has. And, you know, to me, Howie Long, in my opinion, is the personification of a guy that did things the right way, worked hard, worked real hard to get to where he'd gotten. It would be a shame if this is valid, because that just takes off a little bit of off his legacy, so to speak. But we have to wait and see. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. You got an opinion about that, give me a call. Or give me a call on anything else that I'm about to bring up. Let's go to this. We'll take a short break, short commercial break, and then we'll jump into the next subject and go from there.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the master plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the extra point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on The Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, I'm back. And as always, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. That's the Fantasy Sports Booking Casino.com hotline. And we do have a call on the hotline right now. Call from the 240. Welcome to the FSP show. What's up?
What's up, sir? How you doing?
Not bad, not bad, my man. Sound like you in the vehicle while moving and grooving.
Yeah, I'm out and about. Gotta go make a run for one of my children. You know how that
okay.
be.
Yeah, I do know how that be. Well, let me put it this way. I didn't know how that was. All my kids are oh, my God. My youngest is 32, so.
Wow. Shoot, my youngest is 20. I'm close, but I ain't really near you. So I got to bow down, Slim. I got to bow down.
I hear you. What's up? What you up to?
Nothing, man. I'm just calling to see what's up with you, see what you talking about today. It's a couple of things wanted to rap with you about.
Okay.
Wanted to get your take on that fight tonight. Wanted to get your take on my skins and see what's up with the Texans and see what's generally what's on your mind, sir.
Well, let me put it this way. The first thing on my mind was, and I don't know if you got this or heard about this. It has to pertain to Howie Long, and supposedly.
Uh-huh.
His one of his jerseys, it's supposed to be his rookie jersey, is getting auctioned off. And
it's getting what?
It's getting auctioned off. And his game-used
okay.
jersey is supposed to have metal pebbles sewn underneath the jersey numbers in order to, you know, and the reason for the pebbles in the jersey is to rough up the fingers of opposing offensive linemen. So, and it was supposed to, I guess, cut their hands up or cut their fingers up. This has supposedly been a practice of the Oakland Raiders at that time period when Howie Long was a player for the Raiders. And he's denying it. And the auction house.
He's denying it? Wait. Did you say he's denying it? Oh, I'm done with this dude. You know what? I don't mind dudes, you know, that grow up, you know what I'm saying, to kind of change over new leaf or whatever. But what I don't like is when they do that and they don't acknowledge the past. Like, yeah, you know, I was like that. Yeah, I did it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm done with him. I'm done with him.
The auction house is saying this is an authentic game jersey. Howie Long says this is absolutely bizarre and crazy. It never happened. And the current equipment manager is the son of the equipment manager that was the equipment manager at that time. So,
I know. Them Davises. Let me tell you, them Davises, they some good people. Seriously. They just ran their team the way they wanted to, which I can respect, but them Davises, they good people. They keep their people, they hire their people, and like you said, that's the son of the son of the equipment. Come on, man. Nah, Slim. I'm not buying it. Howie, you done.
That at the time with the team didn't make the son, who's equipment manager now, available for comment. Not that he won't comment in the future, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Howie Long is pretty much considered a clean guy, considered a guy that really worked hard for what he got, and this will put a taint on his legacy as a Hall of Famer. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, it's up in the air, and I'm anxious.
But I don't understand why he's distancing himself from it. I don't understand it. I mean, you know, I get it. You know what I mean? I'm not silly. But I don't It's really not worth it. I mean, what can they do? He already in the Hall of Fame. You can say what you want. Just like I'm blowing at Daryl Green because he thinks that they need to change the name. But what can they do to him? He a Hall of Famer. He done put his work in. You know what I mean? Howie need to go ahead and own up to this, man, because he was crazy back then, Slim. He was crazy.
Yeah, he was.
Yep.
You're right. He was crazy back then.
And there's no way he couldn't have been. There's no way he couldn't have been playing that position. There's no way you can't be a crazy high motor, whacked out your mind type dude. Look at what you're doing. Come on, man. I'm not believing that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Let me transition from that to something that we'll have to wait and see, because this is going to be very interesting. It happened twice in the NFL, two different instances of some type of domestic violence and I think you know where I'm going to, in Ray Rice and Adrian. In the child abuse, whatever you want to call it, cases and getting lambasted in the press. I mean, really lambasted and by groups getting absolutely tortured in the press and the media. To racing, NASCAR, NASCAR has a NASCAR driver, a famous one at that, Kurt Busch. I don't know if you heard about this. Has been accused of domestic assault by his ex-girlfriend, and the police in Delaware are investigating. The police department said in a statement that the allegations were brought to the department Wednesday by Bush's ex-girlfriend, Patricia Driscoll. The allegations involved an incident inside his motorhome at a race at Dover International Speedway in September. The couple broke up about a week before. She filed the court documents asking that the judge order Bush to stay away from her and not contact her. That's in essence, to me, that's a restraining order. She also said that asking that Bush undergo a psychiatric evaluation and be evaluated by a certified domestic violence treatment agency. He's saying that he was verbally abusive to her and said he wished he had a gun so that he could kill himself. Poor performance at a race in September 26th. He said he wished called her names and accused her of having spies everywhere, having a camera on the bus to watch him. He then jumped up, grabbed her face, and smashed her head three times against the wall next to the bed.
Good night!
Says she pushed Bush away and ran from the bedroom, going to a nearby bus to put an ice pack on her head and neck. She said the incident caused her severe pain, difficulty breathing, and bruising on her neck. And a hearing is in the case is scheduled for December 2nd. Quite naturally, the other side, Bush says this is an allegation. This allegation is a complete fabrication by a woman who has refused to accept the end of a relationship. And Mr. Bush vehemently denies her allegations in every respect. And NASCAR said it was aware of the situation and gathering information. Bush has not been charged. If he is, his case would play out after a series of high-profile cases involving prominent athletes, including Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, in the NFL, ignited a national debate about how tough professional leagues are when allegations of abuse surface. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this guy, this Rusty Harden, is the same one that represents, and he sounds so familiar. It sounds like the same one that represents Adrian Peterson. And he expects to be vindicated when the entire truth of the situation comes to light. All right. Now, the NASCAR says they are investigating and gathering information. He's got a hearing going on December 2nd. Both sides are claiming foul here. Quite naturally, the woman is claiming foul and physical abuse. And Bush, on the other end, is saying that she's a woman scorned for the most part. I got to see how this plays out in the press, just like the other ones played in the press. You understand what I'm saying here? You know where I'm going with that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I gotta see what happens here because it may not be as severe as what was done to Ray Rice's now wife, but it's still some violence toward a woman, and we'll see what the media decides to do with this. Are they outraged?
They ain't gonna do too much. They ain't gonna do too much with it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't think they're gonna do too much with it because of why. I mean, because let's say if it was a certain running back that plays for, I don't know, pick one NFL team, and just a mere allegation that he did all these things to her. Oh, it would be a public outcry.
Mm-hmm.
It would be murder. Oh my God,
right.
The big
running back
did this to him. Oh, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Honestly, everybody need to do. You know that little meme that be on Facebook is. You just need to calm down. Like my man Aaron Rodgers, relax. Okay, if he did it, you know what I'm saying? Put out the evidence. If she didn't do it, put out your evidence. Let it play out. You know what I mean? And the press is just, you know what, honestly, I'm just about sick with them. I'm sick of the press. They are just idiots. They are idiots. I am so done with them. Done with them.
And let me throw this in here to put some more on the fire here. Bush has seen a sports psychologist to learn to tame his emotions. And he was fined $50,000 by NASCAR 2 years ago for verbally abusing a reporter. So, and a fan caught Bush on video verbally abusing ESP reporter Dr. Jerry Punch during the 2011 season finale. So, he has a history of physical and verbal abuse. So, and he's seen something about it because he can't control his emotions. Hey, man, you know, I'm surprised that this is not more of a big outrage because this guy's got a history.
Oh, you know why it's not a big outrage.
Yeah.
You know why.
Yeah.
We both know why. We've been around for a while. We know.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow! That's all I can say. Is wow! I will say that's a damn shame. 2014, and it's still nothing changed that much.
Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. That's why it's like, you know, when I'm listening to a media correspondent or I'm reading their information, I'm always trying to see where their mentalities are. You know what I mean? What's the basis of, like, why are you writing this? You know what I mean? For what reason? You know what I mean?
Right.
And you could tell the objective ones, and you could tell the ones that's going with the popular opinion and stuff like that. And it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And they claim to be objective, but how can you be objective to something that you have no idea what you're talking about? You just reporting the facts? Okay. Even the facts that you're reporting have a – You saying it with a little slant, you know what I mean?
Right.
You saying it with a slant, and I'm just tired of it. And
right.
The way y'all report, and y'all choose to report what you want to report. like, honestly, I don't like anything media centered. Like, if the media got into it with a player or something, I can't stand that. I hate that. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh my, like that whole. Did you heard about the whole mess with the Redskins and the players in the locker room and the one chick reporter from ESPN? Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, it was a mess. It was a mess. The one ESPN reporter, her name is Britt McHenry, right?
Okay. Right.
She's never been inside the Redskins locker room ever. She went in there one time, right?
Right.
And the players, you know, they was hyped off of the Cowboys win, and they was all, you know, they was up in there having fun or whatever, and they was ragging the media because the media guy that heads the Department of Media, Tony Wiley of the Washington Redskins, he's the guy Colt McCoy away from the other reporter saying no means no. So they kind of was like, you know, going at all the media saying that day.
Right.
The time that they were doing it, Robert Griffin was giving was being interviewed, and you know most of the reporters was there at you know in front of his locker. So
right,
the players, they just kept antagonizing the media. So this chick, she writes an article and says that the team is alienated from Robert Griffin III. And that they have no respect. Yeah. It's crazy. And she said that he has no respect on the team. Nobody listens to him at all. You know what I mean? And based off of what happened that day, well, immediately about 10 of the reporters that are local media here all refuted the report, saying the report was terrible or whatever. Then it got worse. When Adam Schefter, now you got to pay attention, because these jokers be slicing the story so bad. Adam
right.
Schefter came out and made a report. He said, quote, there are sources within the Redskins organization that think that the starting of Robert Griffin came from the owner, right? They didn't, that's not saying that they know it was the owner. They said they think it was the owner, right? He had to come up and clarify it, right? So then it started going from that report that he made. Now ESPN is saying that it came from the owner. It just walked all the way to the owner. Not they think it was the owner, that it was the owner, right? So that's what prompted the whole Redskins to be like, look, that's not true. The whole story is not true. His story ain't true. Her story ain't true. Slim, it's a straight bunker down mentality out here. And it's crazy because the reporters, the local reporters, they in with the Redskins now. They like, hold up. This is some silly stuff going on. What is going on? We got people reporting crazy stuff. Then on top of that, you had the biggest jerk that used to work here as a hack, which is Michael Wilbon. I can't stand him. He gonna go back and back the girl because everybody was flanking her. I mean, they was going in on her at Twitter. The Twitterati was
right.
tearing her apart. So then she
right.
came
right.
back and tried to say that she stands behind her reporting. This, that, and the third, and it was just a mess. It was just a mess. So it's like you always got to, like, when you reading what the media says and listening to what they're saying, you got to understand where they're coming from and why they're doing it. So I don't know, man. It's just getting ridiculous down here.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Wow. See, I heard that, and I heard what Schefter said and took it as, well, Robert Griffin III is not too popular in the locker room anymore, and that there's a split in the locker room on whether people are going to listen to Robert Griffin III or because he's got a upper management on his side that he's getting preferential treatment over a lot of other players, and there's a lot of animosity going on with that.
No.
Wow.
That is correct. That is totally incorrect. Right? Now, I'm going to say this. It definitely was a management decision to go ahead and start him. Right? It definitely was.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't preferential treatment. This is Robert Griffin. This is Robert Griffin's third year. That, like,
uh-huh.
They've got to go ahead and decide if they're going to give him a contract next year. So he got to
right.
get out and play. You know what I mean? I
right.
thought the move was – I thought it was right because he wanted to play against the Cowboys. They made him
uh-huh.
sick. Youngin was chomping at the bit to get down there because, you know, that's his hometown. You know what
right.
I mean? Texas, Cowboys, bright lights. Youngin wanted to be there. They
right.
held him out, right? So I thought that was a good move, but I don't I, the whole preferential treatment, that's old news. That's old news. It was the right thing to do. I mean, if you look at it from its totality, you got to figure out if this dude is that guy. You know, that's why, like, I like Jay Gruden. He's warming up to me very good because he's been straight. He shot straight the whole time. He's been shooting straight the whole time. He was like, look, the jury's still out. We got to figure out if this is our guy moving forward. And that's the truth. That's it.
Yeah, well, you know, when he said that, I got to believe that they, regardless of anything else, they got a guy that is not going to just go blindly and say Robert Griffin III is our quarterback and go down that road and realized way too late that he is not the guy, but because of being stubborn or whatever, or blind to the fact that he's got to play the guy who's going to give him the best chance to win versus
right.
putting the guy in there just because. So,
I mean, you got one guy that's got kind of a hot hand, and then you got the other guy that you got to figure out if you're gonna give him a $10 million contract next year. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's not. I mean, the other two guys that's on the Redskins roster, Cousins ain't the one. I told y'all that. You know, he's not
mm-hmm.
it. Colt McCoy.
Right.
I really don't think he can sustain that type of momentum for, you know, an extended period of time. Because you he's a backup. He's the best backup on it. He's better than Cousins as a backup. He's shown me that. He's definitely shown me that. But Robert isn't here to be a backup. He ain't. He's not.
Right.
You put way too much out there. And plus, the youngin' showing you that overall he's better than the other two quarterbacks. So I don't understand why. I don't understand what the confusion is. I really don't.
Let me ask you something. You say you don't understand what the confusion is, but they're putting him out and just because he's better than the other two doesn't mean he's a franchise quarterback. And so that's my question to you.
Do I think he's a franchise quarterback?
Right.
He's closer to being a franchise quarterback than any of the other two. Way closer. Way, way closer. I was just going to say that Kirk Cousins ain't it. He definitely
right.
not it. McCoy, I think he's it either. I think he's going to have to become like a system quarterback. He's going to have to stick with it and roll with it for a while before he can really get his shot. And I don't think it's going to be here. He wasn't brought here for that. You know what I mean? I mean, because if it's a open competition to see who the guy is, then why you give up two first-round draft picks for this dude? What are y'all doing? You know what I mean? What are y'all doing? Find
well,
out if this dude is it. That's where they
well,
are.
If he's so you got three quarterbacks on there. two of them, you're almost, I would say you're convinced that they're backups, meaning Colt McCoy and Kirk Cousins. Now,
definitely.
You got Robert Griffin III out there, and it's a flip of the coin whether it's going to be heads that he is or tails that he's not.
Right.
And you got to see what you got. Now,
right.
If they don't see what they, if he's not a the answer, what are you gonna go back to the draft and look for another quarterback? I mean, the head coach that they brought in is one of the better offensive coaches and one of the better offensive coaches to tutor a quarterback in
exactly.
the league. And if he can't get the best out of Robert Griffin III, or Robert Griffin III is not the one, then it looks like they're going to all over again after 3 years and go back to the draft with another quarterback. Wow.
Right. Right. They would have to go back to the draft and start all over again. That's why you could tell the difference between having a conversation between a real Redskins fan and a delusional Redskins fan. Delusional Redskins fans believe that Kirk Cousins isn't getting a fair shake, or that since Colt McCoy beat the Cowboys on Monday night when everybody said they would that he couldn't and that he wouldn't, that he should be starting. That's delusional, totally delusional, very delusional. I think they did the right move. You know what I mean? They didn't rush Youngin. You know what I'm saying? They let him, you know, come in when he was ready, and they are where they are. They've got to figure out if this dude is the guy. Me personally, he is that guy. They need to get that line together, man. They really need to get that line together, and they've got like ridiculous trade offs. Like Roy Helu has been playing his ass off. He really has, but he can't block. He can't block. He missed a block every game. They get the quarterback killed every game. Every game he do it. So it's like they got, like, ridiculous trade-off. They need to get that line in order, man. They need to, like, first round next year, they need to go ahead and draft linemen. I wouldn't even draft the quarterback. Even if I say, okay, Robert ain't the dude, they need to just go ahead and just draft big uglies all day for the next two drafts. All seven drafts. Should be big ugly dude. Nobody under 275 pounds. Seriously.
so go the route that the your fellow divisional team did. Talk about the Cowboys when they all got when the Cowboys and Jerry Jones got blasted because they kept on drafting these linemen. And now they have an offensive line which is one of the better offensive lines in the league, and DeMarco Murray is putting up crazy numbers. Let me ask you this. Okay. Colt McCoy won the Cowboys. Won the Cowboys game. Is it because Tony Romo got hurt in that game and was out for a short point, and Brandon Whedon couldn't do the things that Tony Romo could do? Or is because the Washington Redskins played that much better and beat the Cowboys that day?
No, they just beat the Cowboys that day. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was a total team. It was a total team effort. You know.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Yeah.
You're
breaking up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think that the Redskins just won the game. It was a total team effort. I think McCoy did enough not to lose the game, but there's some things that he messed up, you know. There was some things that, you know, he didn't get right, didn't adjust to. The Cowboys could have very well won that game. They were not, which really stunned me. They didn't protect the quarterback. Like, if they blitzing, they doing all out blitzing. Why you not keeping the tight end and a running back there and throwing the ball? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand what you're doing. But I don't think that McCoy was the answer, or nor do I think that he did so great that, you know what I mean, he won that game. No, it just happened that he played a game where he didn't hurt the team and the game was managed decently, and that's all they needed because the defense played his ass off that game.
Right. I know. Yeah, you're right about that. All right, we got about 14 minutes left in the show because I'm only doing an hour show here. And we're going to go into the games, and I don't think we're going to have enough time for that. So I'm going to go this route, and then we may flip back and forth between sports. But I want to go to this route because you had brought it up, and while we were talking, the conversation we were having, I went and looked it up, and I'm definitely going to watch this, okay? Didn't realize it. This old man, he's damn near old, my age, and he's still fighting. I'm talking about Bernard Hopkins, and I think this is what you're talking about, Bernard Hopkins versus Sergey Kovalev in a 12-round unification fight with the IBF, WBA, and WBO light heavyweight fight. That's the main event. They got a lot of fights behind that, but wow. What is it? Hopkins is almost damn near 50 and still fighting.
Yeah, he's 49.
And he's still fighting against this Sergey Kovalev. What?
Yeah. And the dude is a knockout specialist. This dude be knocking Miami's out. He be knocking them out slow. He be killing them.
Well, let me ask you something. Hopkins keeps himself in excellent shape. His own type of diet, he looks phenomenal for 49, and he's still fighting. And with that much time in the boxing, he's a very experienced boxer. He faced a lot of different styles, including guys that are knockout artists like Kovalev. They're fighting tonight, and it's a 12-round fight. Give me your thoughts on this fight and how do you think it's going to go? I'm pretty sure that Hopkins is going to probably stay away from this guy, especially stay away from his best punch. Talk to me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't know. Oh, another thing, this fight is not on pay-per-view. It's going to be on straight HBO. So if you got HBO, it's going to be on HBO.
Really? Oh, yes,
yeah.
I do have HBO.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be a good fight to check out. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Hopkins is gonna be ready for this or not. I don't know. You know, because at any time, you know, Father Time can just creep up. You wanna go to Wawa? It don't matter. At any time, Father Time can just creep up and just end this thing for B-Hop. So I just don't know. But he definitely has the skill and the wherewithal to, frustrate this youngin'. So who knows? It's definitely going to be a good fight to watch. Definitely be a good fight to watch. It'll be really good if this dude knock out. But the Hawkins does. I hate to say it like that because I want to see somebody get knocked out. But if Hopkins win this fight, it's going to be a real boring fight. It's going to be a real boring fight.
And why do you say that if it's going to be a boring fight? You think he's going to try to win it staying away from him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, he's going to have to. That's the only way he can. He's going to stay away from him. You know, he already got the reach advantage on him, and he just gonna parlay away from him. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he's gonna use that reach on him real good. He's gonna use that reach on him. So, you know, this dude gonna have to get on the inside of him, and he gonna have to get to him and work him. You know, it's gonna be a matter of that mind versus speed, Father Time versus
That speed, man. I don't know. It's going to be a good
How
fight.
How young is this guy? How young is this guy? And you know what his record is?
Yeah, he's 30. He's 31 years old, right? And yeah, he's 31 years old. I believe he's got an upwards of 30 fights and something like 20 some odd knockouts, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
So let me ask you this then. You know, Bernard Hopkins, like I said, he's probably one of the oldest fighters out there right now, especially one that's really boxing at a high level. You think if he gets defeated, that he'll hang it up and say, this is it for me? Or has he hinted toward that? Because I didn't really know about this fight until you said something about it. But it just intrigued me because a guy fighting at this old, at this high level, I'm going to have to watch him. And I would have to think that the next fight that he loses, if he loses badly, it's going to be his last. Talk to me.
Yeah. If he loses this fight, it won't, like, if this fight go the distance, he won't lose. If he loses this fight, it's well because he done got his ass knocked out by this guy. Because this guy's not coming in here to play points and whatnot. He wants to knock you out straight up. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, He's gonna have to slow this fight down. He's gonna have to fight, you know what I mean, away from him, you know, using that. And let me tell you, he's gonna use that reach. He's gonna use everything he knows in the ring on this guy. And this guy, he really don't know the ring like that. He know how to knock you out, but he don't know that ring like that. So it's gonna be a really good fight to watch. You know what I mean? If you're a technical person, It's gonna be a hell of a fight to watch because Bernard Hopkins is one of the best technicians out there in the ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's
right.
One of the best. And
right.
You got this dude. This dude is not no tech. He's not no tactician. He's not. He's gonna try and knock him out. And the as a matter of fact, the Russian his trainer is a former Bernard Hopkins trainer. He used to train with Bernard Hopkins. Yeah. So he pretty much know him. So it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a good fight to check out.
Well, let me ask you this. Besides the headliner, the Kovalev-Hopkins fight, is there anybody else on this card that is worth fighting in the undercard? I mean, worth watching?
Nah, I didn't see anybody they had on the undercard that's worth even watching. Look like they trying to pump up somebody. You know, this is this fight is a defection. You know that, right? It's a defection. I mean, because Bernard Hopkins, he's under Golden Boy. And he left Showtime and took a deal with HBO. And this is going to be on HBO, so this is kind of a defection. But, you know, Golden Boy is still going to be in the house. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to watch it on that aspect. But the other fighters, I ain't seen nothing there.
I got one here for you because the guy's record, one of them has got a pretty good record. Jorge Linares, who's 37-3 with 24 knockouts. He's a former featherweight and junior weight title holder. He's going to face Mexico's Javier Prieto, who's 24-7. With 18 knockouts.
Never heard of even one of them dudes. Nah, I ain't never heard of even one of them dudes. That sound like it's two dudes. They got way down the list on the Golden Boy list, and they got them to go ahead and fight. Cause like I told you, Golden Boy, they belong to Showtime. So it's going to be hard for them to find fighters to get up, you know, to be up under this fight. So, you know, because most of the fighters on HBO, they are all Bob Arum dudes. Bob Arum or Don King type dudes. And, you know, what's his name? But B Hop, he ain't messing. He definitely ain't messing with Don King, and he ain't having nothing to do with Bob Arum. So there you go. That's why you got these two no name dudes from that look decent or whatever. But you know, that's basically for that paying boxing public. That's why they got those two dudes. That's what I'm thinking. But I ain't never heard of it.
No. That fight's going to take place in December. I'm sorry about that. I'm looking at the undercard because of the Hopkins fight, and you're right. There's a lot of no-name guys here, 10-round fights. None of them any type of title fights. It's just something to fill the card with until the main fight. And maybe that's why it's not on pay-per-view versus regular show HBO, because the fact is the undercard and the main event doesn't warrant a pay-per-view type of event. It's just an event.
Nobody's going to pay-to-view B-Hop, man. They're not going to pay that for him, because his fights are not entertaining. He's a tactician.
Yeah.
No, you just keep straight. Just keep straight. He's a tactician. This guy, the guy he's fighting, he's more entertaining than B Hop is. It's just that B Hop got a better name. He's much more entertaining to watch. You can get over there.
We got less than 2-3 minutes left in the show here. I'm going to close this show up in an hour so I can get the heck out of here. I got a ill mother that I want to go see. So, with that being said, you got anything else that you want to bring out here before we call it a wrap?
Nah, I think that's about it. That's about it. I got it all out today. Oh, man.
All right, well, I want to thank you for calling, my man, and enlightening me, because I would have definitely missed this fight, and I'm definitely going to watch it, because I like watching Bernard Hopkins fight, and hopefully he doesn't get knocked out, so and he happens to do something with his surgery cover.
It'd be a good fight if he get knocked out, Phil. Oh, my goodness. Woo.
Oh, man, I can't believe you like seeing people get people knocked out.
I'd like to see a good fight, right? I don't mind watching him, you know, break this young dude down, outboxing him and stuff like that. I don't mind that. But I definitely want to see somebody get knocked out.
Okay. With that being said, I want to thank you, like I said, for me today and having a conversation that we had. Tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m., people, for the Master Plan with myself as the host and my esteemed co-host, Lance, the NFL Explorer Goodman. We're talking about each one of these games. We didn't get to talk about any of the games today. So we're going to be breaking down the games on who we think are going to win and lose. And also, we're going to talk about fantasy relevance in the games also. So it's going to be a jam-packed show tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of information that's put out there. Hopefully, it's good information for you fantasy players. Tune in on Monday after the fact of on Sunday, where Lance critiques our picks that we made on Sunday on the NFL, the Extra Point, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Monday night, and he also previews the Monday night football game. And tune in on And with that being said, enjoy the weekend. Macau, you do the same. You enjoy the weekend. And we are going to be out of here as soon as I can find what I need to find to get the heck out of here. And I'll find it right here. See ya.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk back?
you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.